Hey, Blake, what do you make of that? That do you agree with that take that the fans of this Raptors team would rather go through this year's juggernaut of an Eastern Conference as opposed to last year's Cavs?
Oh, I think if you're only talking like one series versus three series, you have to take the Cavs. You have to take your chances. You have Kawhi Leonard now.
Yes.
Who, you know, in the long line of LeBron stoppers the Raptors have brought in who didn't actually exist. You know, Kawhi Leonard's the closest thing, maybe.
Yeah, the ghosts don't exist with this core.
My contention was that it's essentially two series because I guess if you like your biggest scare in the first round would be an injury, which I guess is real with this group. That you're trying to avoid that.
Yeah,
but
34-year-old Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard.
You better beat Charlotte. You better beat that Brooklyn Nets team. Yep. And you better beat them quite handily. So it's basically coming down to, would you rather have two series against, the Sixers, Celtics, and Bucks, or just LeBron? And I'm terrified of LeBron. I've seen what he can do. I've seen his
Kawhi
powers
Kawhi Leonard
work.
Has crushed LeBron James with his bare hands in a finals, okay? Mm-hmm. We've seen that before. He ain't scared.
Listen, you guys, your side of the argument is logical. It's the right one to be on.
I just believe in ghosts. It's okay. You watch Paranormal Activity.
I believe the history of the league is generally decided by the best players in the league, and that he still is that. He is still the best player. He's only ahead of Marc Gasol, though, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a tie right after Kawhi and Marc Gasol and Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. Oh, man, the mentions, I got to say, I have so many mentions about Jeremy Lin should start at the point for Toronto, and I'm guessing you have the exact same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a lot right away, and I had some friends who write in Atlanta or New York reach out and warn me. It's like, you could say, you know, you could write the most glowing thing about Lin, but if you point out that he only shoots 34.5% on threes, your mentions are going to be on fire all day. So we'll all have to tread lightly, I guess.
That's okay, because we're already so accustomed to treading lightly with Kawhi all just like, we've been waiting for this moment. Like, everyone's been preparing.
No, but Nick Nurse, he paved the way for us to be, like, even a little bit critical of Kawhi Leonard. But Kawhi said he didn't see that, so it's fine. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. And then he was like, no, my favorite part of that quote with Kawhi was like, I'm glad he put that in the air. I was like, oh, man, Nick Nurse better pack a bag and get out of town. Like, that sounded awfully threatening to me. But yeah, let's start with Gasol, because I think that I think it was Joseph Casario. Is that how you say his name? I think he put it
Casaro.
I think he put it great yesterday in a tweet, which was that this was kind of a little bit like the Kawhi Leonard acquisition, where very early a lot of casual fans were getting to see just exactly what Marc Gasol can provide you. But honestly, even someone who is very optimistic about the deal, like myself, I was like, seeing the way Gasol played yesterday and the level of engagement that he played with, and just, I know he's not going to be perfect from the field every game, but man, if they're getting that guy who improves your rotation and who all of a sudden people are zipping passes around and Kawhi Leonard looks like he's meshing with the group more than ever, it's just, this is a lot to take in very quickly. And I guess, how close do you think this actually is to reality?
Offensively, I think it's a real thing. I think Gasol reads the game so well. He's such a talented passer. He has two guys in Lowry who loves to run the dribble handoff game and the high pick and roll, and then Leonard, who, you know, succeeds a lot getting the ball kind of off those same actions down at the elbow for mid-rangers or to attack the rim. I think that's going to be a pretty natural fit. Now, obviously, you know, he's come off the bench in two games, and his playmaking can help that group too. But the thing with Gasol's skill set is, you know, so far the Raptors are 7 of 20 on shots immediately after a Gasol pass. His skill set is even more valuable if you have good players around him like Lowry and Leonard and Danny Green. So I think, you know, I think the offensive side, it's pretty obvious where he can fit and how they can make the offense a little more dynamic with him on the court. Defensively is kind of where, you know, obviously at his peak he was a defensive player of the year. He's a very good communicator. You know, he's still a big body. But that's the area where you mentioned, you know, his engagement level on the offensive end. Well, that kind of slid in Memphis. Not that he wasn't trying or he wasn't good, but it was less than when he was at his peak. And that's something that, you know, he's 35 years old. We'll have to see just how much he can get that back and how much the Raptors can build him into their scheme. But offensively, I mean, it's going to look like that sometimes. He's such a gifted passer.
And you said it, yeah, the guys he's playing with aren't making those shots when he finds them wide open. So what is the argument? I know it's early days, right? It's just two games with this group, and he's watching a lot of film. He's ingesting a lot of information. But what's the argument against him being in the starting lineup and at least closing these close games?
Yeah, I think the argument against him in the starting lineup is or was that the second unit can use some playmaking and that the starting unit has been good together. My counters to that would be that the starting lineup since December 1st really hasn't been good together. They have a negative net rating since starting the season really hot. So it's not as if that fivesome can't be broken up. And then, you know, the him helping the bench offense, it makes sense on paper. I think that argument loses some of its punch now that they've signed Jeremy Lin to help the bench. They have another pick and roll orchestrator there who can create for himself and others. He should be able to, in theory, work well with Serge Ibaka. It allows Fred VanVleet to work off the ball a little bit more like he would do sometimes with DeLon Wright. So I think that argument starts to fall apart a little bit with Lin in there now. You know, at the end of the day, you probably want your very best players starting in a playoff series as the difficulty gets ramped up. I could see, you know, certain East matchups, maybe Gasol's not the best starting option, but I think he'll end up starting more often than not as we come out of the All-Star break.
Well, yeah, I like the Lin point a lot because we've seen Serge Ibaka work well as a pick and pop option, and you can do that with him and Jeremy Lin, and it can be just as, like, and maybe not just as effective as with Kyle Lowry, but yeah, you can have something there. Plus, you've seen a little bit more from Norm Powell recently. Yeah, I think it's absolutely something to experiment in, and I want to talk about Jeremy Lin and what you think that overall he's going to be able to bring this team and the role that he's going to play with Fred VanVleet out and how much that's going to change. But I think people are still really interested in the rest of the buyout market. And then yesterday, I think it was Chris Haynes reporting that the Raptors are still looking at Markieff Morris. And whether you – okay, need is a bit strong, but how much would you like to see the Raptors add a player like that or still go out in the market and add another guy that could be in their, I guess, deeper rotation?
Yeah, I would really like it. Their roster is still one short of the minimum they've got until coming out of the All-Star break to fix that. So they have to sign someone anyway. You know, I think a lot of people, if you look skill-wise on this roster, shooting is something that they need. But there are so few shooters on the market that when it was originally reported that Ben McLemore was signing a 10-day, you know, people acted like that was a fix for it. He's a career below average 3-point shooter. You know, he might end up better than that on a good team. Who knows? But that's kind of on pause for right now. So I think you look at a guy like Markieff Morris, and there are a couple players who might hit the market in that vein. But you know, guys who are big, who are tough, who can give you some minutes at the four, or if you downsize with a smaller center, they can play alongside that guy and kind of keep some size on the floor, even when you're nominally a little smaller. I think the toughness aspect is big too. Like this Raptors team, you know, they're not soft, and I don't think that was their issue in playoffs past, but they do lack a little bit of that, or they have in the past at least. And I think Morris, you know, they've been hesitant to bring in combustible elements, but maybe that's what they need at this point. They need someone to kind of, you know, muck it up a little bit in what could be a couple of really tight playoff series in the East.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is a veteran group,
and
now.
He's not a bad shooter too. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird situation for Nick Nurse because he was hired before the Kawhi Leonard deal was made. This is his first kick of the can in the NBA, and he's got a huge roster turnover here. He's got so many pieces mid-season that he's trying to figure out where they land. I think the starting rotation, we have a pretty good idea of where that's going to be if you just throw Marc Gasol in there. But there's a lot of challenges for him in this season. And not that he's done a bad job, but I wonder if looking back, Masai might have been looking at this roster and thinking, this would have been a nice roster for a veteran coach, not a guy in his first year in the league as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because they made that coaching change independent of all this other stuff. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things. I think if Nurse comes out of this looking good and managing it well, you know, you're probably not going to have a more tumultuous competitive season than this one. So in terms of experience, it'll be great for him. You know, it is tough though. He's a guy who I know in his background through the G League and through the European leagues, he's dealt with some of this stuff, but he's had to deal with some of that stuff without, you know, also the egos and contracts of NBA players. So how it's going to get managed if Ibaka has to move to the bench full time, or they want Gasol coming off the bench, or, you know, Siaka moves to the bench when, you know, say they want to play big in a certain matchup after the season he's had, you know, that's going to be the real test for him. And I thought entering the year, that was probably the biggest test he was going to face anyway. You know, like tactically, it's hard to evaluate him given how much in and out they've had and how little familiarity they've had, but it was always going to be the off-court stuff and the people management that is the toughest thing to figure out if a coach has it or not. So I don't have a good answer on if it's going to work out, if he's going to manage it well, but I think this was always kind of the biggest challenge that he was going
to
face.
Well, to that point about the managing of people, he's made some comments that were clearly aimed at doing things, mostly about the referees and the way that Kawhi Leonard has been officiated. It wasn't the biggest deal in the world, but we haven't seen much criticism of Kawhi Leonard, and rightly so. He's been pretty good, but he went through a couple of games where he wasn't at his best, didn't look as assertive as we've seen him. And I do think there was a purpose to Nick Nurse's comments a couple of days ago. Is that him maybe feeling more comfortable in his position? What did you make of that decision to go public with those statements? And maybe you disagree with me that you don't think that was a purposeful thing that he did.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, you know, trying to light a fire or anything like that. I think he probably has a good sense that come playoff time, you know, that's going to automatically light the fire. I think, you know, Nurse has been pretty loose with his, I don't mean like he's divulging secrets or anything, but he's been pretty forthright with anything non-injury related. So he might have just been given an honest answer and saying, look, it's February, we're playing a stretch of not very good teams, and Leonard, you know, he's not giving 110%, not that he's not trying, but you know what I mean in terms of, you know, being that destroyer as Nick Nurse described it. So, you know, I would think it was purposeful had Leonard not later said, oh, this is the first I've heard of it. You know, if it was something he was saying behind closed doors to try to get him going, that would be one thing. I think if he's saying it in the media, you know, that's not the way to get that message across. So I think he was probably just riffing.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious about the egos thing. I'm not worried about Kawhi anymore. I feel like that's kind of settled at this point. And yeah, I didn't really see the upside of Nurse's comments, but I also wasn't overly bothered by them. I'll say this though: I am interested in Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol's dynamic, because Gasol left money on the table to be here. Like, mm-hmm. He left $1 million on the table to be a Toronto Raptor. And I don't think that he would view himself as a lesser player than Serge Ibaka, and I don't think that many people would. But I could also see Serge thinking, well, okay, we've had some struggles in the starting unit this season, but ultimately I've been healthy this year, and I've been a version of myself that a lot of people were really not expecting. I've been one of the stories of the season in terms of a successful story of the season. I've improved my game. I've been solid on both ends. I've excelled in this role as a center. And now you kind of want to tell me that I'm not someone that's closing games, because the idea of, you know, someone else knocking out of that lineup and moving him back to the four and taking out Pascal Siakam is, I mean, it's nonsensical to me. So he would obviously be the odd man out. And I wonder if you have concerns, if it really, when we're talking about ego and guys moving around, that we're not just talking about the egos of potentially Marc Gasol because of the expectations that he has, and Serge Ibaka, who has ultimately been a really good soldier and a good player this season.
Yeah, just to be clear, when I mentioned Serge possibly playing alongside Gasol, I'm talking like for 3-4 minute looks, not for, I don't think you'd ever close a game that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough thing to manage. And I think, you know, I think it would have been easier had Valanciunas not been hurt, because Ibaka would have stayed in that flow of switching in and out of the starting lineup. I think, you know, the approach is probably to sit him down and have a similar conversation to what you had before the season and be like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be matchup based, and everyone's still going to get their minutes. You know, that might be tough, and these last 24 games, they might have to mix those guys in and out a little bit to keep them both familiar with the roles. But yeah, I don't know what the simple answer is. You hope that the fact that it's playoff time and the team's going to be winning helps paper over a lot of that. You mentioned Gasol giving up money. Well, the longer they go into the playoffs, the bigger playoff bonus everyone gets. So maybe that's a counter to that. And then I think with Gasol, at least you have a little bit of runway here where he's just so happy to be here back in a winning situation that this is a concern that Nurse can kind of slowly build up to for later on, particularly for the playoffs. And then I think, too, you hope it helps that Ibaka and Gasol have a relationship, and, you know, maybe they can embrace kind of trading the role off a little bit. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I'm not sure.
Man, Gasol was so engaged last night and playing so well. I was like, I'm sitting there thinking, man, maybe Patrick McCaw is a guy, and this team's all in trying to be in a championship this year, and I'm just starting to have thoughts about Patrick McCaw. Although, you know,
he's got a ring.
Yeah, it's true. He does have a ring. He's the champion on the team. So over to Jeremy Lin. When I looked at the Raptors roster ahead of the buyouts, I said, all right, I'm just going to live with this because they have 9 guys. And while they're going to probably have to ask some things of guys in the regular season, ultimately they've got a playoff rotation, even if it isn't perfect. And ultimately, some of the questions about shooting, you just had to hope that Fred VanVleet was going to give you better shooting than he did in the first half of the season. And same goes for Norm Powell, that he was going to be a decent shooter. And those were essentially going to be your options. But it really feels like with the signing of Lynn that he's going to be a playoff rotation guy. And even when Fred VanVleet comes back, he'll still potentially be the guy that's playing on the ball with Fred playing off of it.
Yeah, I think Lynn factors into a playoff rotation probably. And I don't know, you know, depending on the matchup, I'm not sure if that means it expands to 10 or if, you know, OG Anunoby or Norman Powell, depending on how they're playing come that time, are on the bubble a little bit. We saw last night Nurse went with a 9-man rotation without Fred VanVleet or Jeremy Lynn in there. So I could see it staying tight. I think Lynn, you know, he probably just offers you too much in that second unit offense to not be a playoff rotation piece for at least, you know, 10, 12 minutes a game at the minimum. So yeah, it's one of the wings who's probably going to fall out, and Anunoby's looked better the last couple games, but for the whole season has not played particularly well. Last night, I thought he looked really good defending on the ball at least and coming up with some steals. So yeah, those are questions to figure out. And then we talked about earlier, other buyout candidates, they might add another guy in there. And, you know, McCaw is not much of an offensive player, but he played well last night and he's defended really well since he got here. So, you know, I think you look at the last 24 games, you've got 8 guys who are for sure in the playoff rotation. And for Nurse, it'll be about getting those guys comfortable together in different mix and match units. And then everyone else is basically competing for that 9th and maybe 10th rotation spot in the playoffs.